A long time ago, God made some extraordinary promises to a man named Abraham. But what does that have to do with you and me some 4,000 years later? We'll find out today as Dr. Gary Hedrick discusses the Abrahamic Covenant right here on Messianic Perspectives. This is Messianic Perspectives, where we look into the scriptures from a distinctive messianic point of view. I'm Liz Aiello. Today, our study focuses on the Abrahamic Covenant, which includes seven promises God made to Abraham some 4,000 years ago. You may be surprised to learn that those promises have far-reaching implications, even for us today. I'll be back at the close of the program with news about a special offer. And now, here's Gary.
Thank you, and we welcome you, listening friend, to this edition of the program. Well, we've been talking about the Abrahamic Covenant for the last few days. It's the fourth of the eight covenants mentioned in the Bible, and we've been looking at the seven provisions of this Abrahamic Covenant found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. And so far, we've seen that the first of those provisions was that God would make of Abraham a great nation, the nation Israel. The second provision was that Abraham would experience great personal blessing. The third provision was that Abraham's name would be great. The fourth provision of the Abrahamic Covenant was that Abraham would be a blessing to the world. The fifth provision is the principle of blessing for blessing, and we talked about that last time. I will bless them that bless thee. And now the sixth provision of the covenant is the principle of cursing for cursing. And when we ran out of time on the last program, we were talking about the fact that anti-Semitism always brings down the judgment of God. Look at the lessons of history. On the last couple of programs, we were discussing Christopher Columbus and the theory that he was Jewish. And we talked about the fact that his first expedition to the New World left port on the day after the Edict of Expulsion took effect in Spain in 1492. The very next day, the Edict of Expulsion said that every Jew in Spain had to convert to Roman Catholicism or leave the country. We already saw what happened to Spain after King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella issued that edict of expulsion in 1492. The Spanish Habsburg dynasty, once the most wealthy and dominant political force in all of the world, and the great Spanish colonial empire, which controlled the seas for centuries, it was all shattered. Spain rapidly sank to the status of a second-rate power after the Edict of Expulsion was issued, after the Jews were kicked out of Spain, and never again did she play a major role in world politics. I will curse him that curseth thee, God had said. It's the principle of cursing for cursing. God says, listen, I will bless them that bless thee. I will curse him that curseth thee. Look at what happened to Nazi Germany. Nazi Germany had the technology and the manpower and the geographical position in World War II, right in the heart of Europe, to win the war. Some historians would even go so far as to say that Germany should have won the war. So why didn't she? She had the advantage from a logistical standpoint, from a geographical standpoint, from a strategic standpoint, from a technological standpoint. Why didn't she win the war? Well, apart from the heroic way the Allies fought back, particularly the Americans and the British, another reason Germany lost was the way she treated the Jews. During the Nazi Holocaust from 1933 to 1945, nearly 6 million Jews were killed, representing some two-thirds of the world's Jewish population. This included 4,500,000 from Russia, Poland, and the Baltic, 750,000 from Hungary and Romania, 290,000 from Germany and Austria, 105,000 from the Netherlands, 90,000 from France, and 54,000 from Greece. Genocide is the systematic destruction of a people solely because of religion, race, ethnicity, or nationality. And the Holocaust is the worst case of genocide in recorded history. Along with the Jews, another 10 million people, mainly Gypsies, Poles, Ukrainians, Belarusians, 10 million more people, besides the Jews, were exterminated by the Nazis. That means, altogether, some 16 million human beings were murdered in the Holocaust. The extent of the carnage is mind-boggling. But in spite of her scientific advancement, in spite of her technological know-how, in spite of her other advantages, Germany could not escape the judgment of Almighty God for what she did to the Jews. Hitler had planned to be the Kaiser, the Caesar, it's the same word, of a revived Holy Roman Empire. His Third Reich was to be the Third Roman Empire, a millennial kingdom that would endure for 1,000 years. That was Hitler's dream. But when the war was over, listen, Nazi Germany lay in ruins. Adolf Hitler, the demented Führer of the Third Reich, had committed suicide in the face of imminent defeat. His henchmen faced an Allied tribunal at the Nuremberg War Crimes Trial from November 1945 to October 1946. Many of them were executed for their role in the Holocaust. The German nation was dismantled and divided among the Allies. I will curse him that curseth thee. It's a principle we'd better not forget, my friend. And number 7, the 7th provision of the Abrahamic covenant is the messianic promise. Here it is, Genesis 12:3. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. In the Garden of Eden, the Lord said to the serpent, and I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It, that is the woman's seed, the Messiah, it shall bruise thy head, and thou, that is the serpent, Satan, thou shalt bruise his heel. Genesis 3:15. This is the verse we call the Protevangelium, the first gospel, because it's the first mention in the Bible of the promise of a coming Messiah, a coming Redeemer. When God made his covenant with Abraham, he was telling Abraham that that great evangelic promise of Genesis 3:15 would be fulfilled through his descendants. The subsequent unfolding of God's plan shows us that this promise has a threefold fulfillment. Now watch this. The first aspect of the fulfillment relates to the coming of the Messiah, Yeshua HaMashiach. The world has been blessed through the coming of Abraham's promised seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. The most wonderful gift this old world has ever received is the one who came wrapped in swaddling clothes in a manger 2,000 years ago. That little baby was the seed of the woman whose coming had been prophesied in Genesis 3:15. The second aspect of the fulfillment relates to the establishment of the church on the day of Pentecost, because there is a sense in which Gentile believers are also the seed of Abraham. The spiritual seed of Abraham consists of those who, like Abraham, are justified by faith. The Apostle Paul said, "And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Galatians 3:29. And the third aspect of the fulfillment of this promise relates to the nation Israel, because in the coming millennial kingdom, the Gentile nations will be blessed through Israel, Abraham's physical seed. Isaiah 60, verse 1 says, "Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising." It's a well-known messianic passage, and it's set in the context of the millennium, or what in Jewish theology is known as the Messianic Age. According to the rabbis, the Messianic Age is when Mashiach ben David, Messiah the son of David, comes to sit on his throne in Jerusalem. It's when swords are beat into plowshares and spears into pruning hooks. It's when the temple is rebuilt and the Shekinah glory of God that was lost in the Old Testament returns to the Holy of Holies. And Jew and Gentile alike will walk in the sunlight of God's blessing. In thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Abraham has blessed all families of the earth, number one, through his messianic seed, the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, through his spiritual seed, the church. And number three, through his physical seed, the nation Israel. Well, that's all we have time for today. I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gary. And thank you, listening friend, for tuning in today. It's always good to have you with us as we look into God's Word together. When you write this week and include a gift of $6 or more, we'd like to send you the CD of this entire series of studies on the Abrahamic Covenant. What are the seven provisions of the covenant? Is it conditional or unconditional? Will it be fulfilled literally or only spiritually? And what does the Abrahamic Covenant have to do with more recent events like the American Revolution and the Holocaust? These are just a few of the interesting questions Gary addresses in this series, and it's available this week for a contribution of just $6 or more. Just visit our online store at messianicspecialties.com. If you would prefer to order by mail, just address your request to Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. To order by phone, use our toll-free order line from the U.S. The number is 1-800-926-5397.
Hi, this is Rob Styler with CJF Ministries. I'm really excited to tell you that next year we will be returning to Israel. I think this will be our best tour ever. Fantastic itinerary, fantastic guide, fantastic hotels. Love to have you join us. Go to cjfm.org, look for the tours, or please feel free to email me, robs@cjfm.org. It's robs@cjfm.org. See you then.
Have you enjoyed this edition of Messianic Perspectives? Why not continue to learn about the Jewish roots of your Christian faith by inviting a speaker from CJF Ministries? Call our toll-free number, 1-800-926-5397, and we'll be happy to handle all of the details. You'll be glad to know that our daily programs are available as downloadable podcasts. We're listed in the iTunes Music Store. Just access the Music Store through the link on our homepage at cjfm.org or by searching for Messianic Perspectives at the iTunes Music Store. You'll find the subscription information there. Would you rather listen on your computer? Our broadcasts are also available as webcasts. Just click on the media link on our homepage at cjfm.org. Once again, our web address is simply cjfm.org. By the way, listening friend, has it been a while since we've heard from you? It's very important that if you're listening, please let us know you're out there. You know, almost every time we drop a station from our network, we receive letters from people who say, "Why did you drop our station?" But then we check our files and find out they never bothered to write while we were on their station. So don't wait until it's too late. If you enjoy the program, let us know. Just drop us a line at Messianic Perspectives, P.O. Box 345, San Antonio, Texas, 78292. Or email us at info@cjfm.org. And as always, when you're in touch with us, please mention the call letters of this station. If you're listening to our webcast or podcast, we need to know that too. This is Liz Aiello. Join us next time, won't you, as Dr. Gary Hedrick continues our series on the Abrahamic Covenant, right here on Messianic Perspectives. Messianic Perspectives is sponsored by CJF Ministries of San Antonio, Texas, and is made possible on this station by the free will contributions of our listeners in this area.